Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 103. We've already heard from it this morning in a number of ways, even just in the last song that we sang. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. We're going to be reading the whole thing. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father, we want to praise you along with your servant David. And we pray, Lord, that through your Spirit you would speak to us and that your praise would well up in us as in a child. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how did things go with Dad this morning? How did things go with Dad? I assume that most of us spent a little time this morning recognizing Dad on Father's Day. How did that go? Were you able to find just the right gift, or maybe make just the right gift? Those are my favorite ones. Or were you able to find the card that said exactly what you wanted to say to Dad this morning? Or maybe for you it was a phone call, either because Dad wasn't there at home or because Dad doesn't live with you anymore. How did it go with Dad this morning? I hope it went well. It should go well with Dad on Father's Day, shouldn't it? But what I'm more concerned about is, how is it going to go with Dad tomorrow? And Tuesday? How is it going to go with Dad then? Every couple of weeks, I get together with some friends, and we talk about how things are going in our lives. And since all of us are fathers, much of the conversation revolves around how things are going between us and our children. And one thing that you notice when you talk to people, when you talk to other fathers about how things are going between them and their children, is that The way things are going depends seemingly quite a bit on how old their children are. When kids are really little, things go really well with dad. That relationship is really... Dad is just... The sun rises and sets on dad when you're a little child. He's just so big and so strong, and he can do seemingly anything. When you're a little child, the sun rises and sets on dad. And I have been cherishing these years because I'm kind of in the middle of that right now. And when I come home at the end of the day, there's nothing like this. You come home at the end of the day, and I open the door, and I hear in another room, Dad? Dad? Hey, Dad's home! Yay, Dad! And they come running, hi, Dad! And they jump in my arms. Wow. When you have little children, when you're a dad and you have little children, you receive a lot of hugs, and you receive a lot of kisses, and you receive a lot of praise. Fathers receive a lot of praise when they have little children. But that doesn't last all that long. A few years later, even though the sun is still shining on Dad, it doesn't exactly rise and set on him anymore. Over the years, you've come to realize that Dad isn't the all-powerful, all-knowing creature that you once thought he was. And he certainly can't do everything. He definitely doesn't do everything I want him to do. He's still Dad, and he's still very special to you. But his tendency to disagree with you about what you should be doing has begun to put a damper on your relationship. He receives praise now and then, just not like he did when you were a little kid. And sadly, the trend continues. Sadly for dads, that is. The trend continues. And a few years later, Dad just doesn't seem to know much of anything anymore. He's hopelessly locked in the past. He's so old-fashioned. And he doesn't even care that everyone else is doing it. He doesn't care. He doesn't care how I look before my friends. He just insists that I do things the way he wants them done. Conflict begins to develop with Dad because his will and your will are different. And Dad doesn't receive much praise in those years. Praise is hard to come by. And we begin to long for that time when we can break away. We begin to long for that time when we can break away from Dad and do things the way we want to do things. How things are going with your father is often determined to one degree or another by how old you are. And it seems to me that a similar pattern develops in our relationship with our Heavenly Father too. You know, when we're little kids, and we first learn about God from mom and dad or from Sunday school or whatever, he is the most wonderful thing we have ever heard of. He's the most wonderful person we could ever imagine. He is so big. And he does such marvelous things. He's so strong. He can do seemingly anything. And we're quick to praise him. The singing this morning was wonderful, but you know who the best singers in the church always are? It's the little kids. Because when they're up here singing their songs, there is nothing holding them back. Their songs might be simple, but they are very deep because they come from way down inside somewhere. And they let it rip because they can't help. They want to praise God. Little children are quick to praise God. But as children get older, the choirs often get smaller and softer. His praise doesn't flow from way down here the way it once did. Where we used to praise him for his power and control over our lives, we now begin to resent it a little here and there. And if he really can do anything, then why hasn't he been doing the things I've been asking him to do? Conflict begins to develop with Dad over a number of different issues. As we grow up, there is often a parting of the ways between our Heavenly Father and his children. And in time, those simple songs of praise that we used to bellow out when we were little children are just a memory, only part of what it meant to have been a child once. We often think that growing up means breaking free. And that tends to put quite a strain on the way things are going with Dad. It works that way with our earthly fathers, and it works that way with our Heavenly Father as well. So I'd like to ask you again, but in a slightly different way, how are things going with your father this morning? How are things going with your earthly father? And how are things going with your Heavenly Father? The irony of the whole situation is that growing up is just the opposite of breaking free. Growing up isn't breaking free. Growing up isn't proving that you don't need your father. The first step in growing up is coming to acknowledge that you do. It doesn't do you any good to constantly try to prove that you don't need your father. It doesn't do you any good. In fact, oftentimes it only proves how much you do need him. It's only when you acknowledge your need for your father that you can even begin to grow into maturity. It works that way with our earthly fathers, imperfect though they may be. And I'll grant you that there are elements and variables that make it more complicated than that. But it certainly completely and wholeheartedly works that way with our Heavenly Father. Growing up is not breaking free. Growing up is coming to understand how much we need Dad. In Psalm 103, it seems rather obvious that things are going pretty well between David and his Heavenly Father. Because this psalm is a psalm of praise, a psalm of praise that comes from way down inside somewhere. He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." It's a song of praise that comes from way down inside. David is lifting his voice in praise like he's a little child up in front of church. Now, why? Well, you know, David was a songwriter, so it could be that this is just a song, and the Psalms, you know, are songs, that maybe this is one written for kids to sing. You know? It could be that Psalm 103 is just a song for kids. Or it could be that since David was so musically inclined, maybe this was one of his earliest works. You know, when he was just a little shaver, he penned this one. But as we look farther in the psalm, neither of those two possibilities seem possible. As we keep reading, it becomes clear that this is a very personal psalm for David, and not personal as a child physically, but personal for him as he looks back on his life, as he looks back on his relationship with his father as an older man. He continues, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles." David isn't a little child who hasn't been through the trenches with his heavenly father yet. David is, you could say, a little child who has been through the trenches with his heavenly father. He has been through the trenches with him. He's been estranged from his father. He has had disagreements with his father. He has had differences of opinion. He has gone his own way and done what he wanted to do, no matter what his father had said. He had been through those things. But as he reflects on all that has happened between himself and his heavenly father through the years, the glorious benefits of being his child overwhelm him. And he becomes a kid again. His youth is renewed. Once again, David becomes like the little boy up in front of church. And it doesn't matter if he knows all the words, and it doesn't matter if he knows the tune, he's still lets it rip and praises God. His youth has been renewed. And at the center of David's praise to God, at the heart of why David feels safe to be a child again, is because he has come to understand that the Father understands him. That the Father understands him, and that the Father knows what he needs. He writes in verse 14, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more." Before our youth can be renewed like the eagles, before we lift up our voices like a little kid again, we have to come to acknowledge the fact that our Father knows us. That he knows how we are formed. That he knows what we need. And that in his love and his strength and his wisdom, he'll give it to us. Before we can be a kid again, we have to acknowledge that he knows us and that he'll take care of us and that he has taken care of us. And to prove this to us, he points us to the way God dealt with Israel. He writes in verse 7, "He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel." In Exodus 34, just after the account of the golden calf, we have the account of the new stone tablets. See, the old stone tablets weren't all that old, but they had been broken to pieces. When Moses came down the mountain and he saw God's people worshiping the golden calf and doing all the other things that went along with that, he threw them down and they were broken. And after that happened, the relationship between God's people and God was in jeopardy. It was in question. And God had told them, take off all your jewelry, and I'll decide what to do with you. And then we have the story of the new stone tablets. And the Lord said to Moses, go chisel out two more and bring them back to me, and I'll write it again. Let's start over again. And when Moses brought those tablets to God, the Bible tells us that God came in a cloud. He came in a cloud. And he stood there before Moses, and he proclaimed his name to Moses. He proclaimed his name, Yahweh, the Lord, to Moses. And he said, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's what David is talking about. He made his ways known to Moses. That's who he is. That's how he will relate to his children. And with that action that God took, and so many after it and before it, he made his ways known to the people of Israel. That over and over and over again, he would prove his love to them. He would prove his faithfulness to them. He would prove to them that he is a father who knows them and knows their need, and more than anything, wants to meet the need that they have. And the language that David has in verse 8 echoes those same words that the Lord spoke to Moses. David writes, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. I can testify to that. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the Father's love for us. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. For David, the first step toward growing up spiritually was to recognize that he was a child. To embrace the knowledge that the Father knew his need and would abundantly fill it with good things, with love, with compassion, with forgiveness. David had discovered along the way that the Father was right about his need. David had tried to go other ways, and he had discovered that it didn't lead him where he thought it would. He discovered that the Father's word to him had always been love, no matter how he heard it. No matter how it sounded at the time, his Father is love and faithfulness. And every word he had ever spoken to him was out of love and faithfulness and mercy. Everyone. And so he realized that being his father's child was better than being anything else. And that's when you're grown up spiritually. When you realize that being your father's child is infinitely better than being anything else, you're grown up. Jesus tells us a story about a man who had two sons. And one of the sons came to his father and said, "Give me my part of the estate because I want to break free. I want to grow up. And I want to get out from underneath your control." So the father did that, and he gave him his share of the estate. And that young man went to a foreign land, and he squandered all of it on living the way his father didn't want him to live. All of the blessings, you see, that he had inherited from his relationship to that father, he had squandered. And he found himself with nothing. And he had to take a job feeding pigs. And Jesus adds that he was so hungry that he wanted to eat what he was supposed to be feeding the pigs, but nobody would let him have any. And then, Jesus said, he came to his senses. And he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more food than they can eat? And yet here I am with nothing." And so he decided that he would go back and he would say to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant." And so he went back. But as he was going back, his father, his loving father, the father who knew how bad a mistake his son was making, the father who knew how he was squandering every blessing that came from his relationship with that young man, that same father was watching. Because he was a father of love. And when he saw his son coming, he didn't wait. He didn't go in the house and force that boy to come in here crawling on his hands and knees. He ran after him. And Jesus says he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And he immediately met his needs. He put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and a robe on him. And then he killed the fatted calf and had a celebration because his son had come back. His son had become his kid again. How are things with your father? How are things with your heavenly father? What does it mean to grow up to you? What does it mean to grow up? The Father sent his son to open his arms wide on the cross so that the Father could open his arms wide to you, and it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've gone. That doesn't matter. It took a lot of humility for that son to come back to his father and say, "You know what? I was wrong, and you were right." That's one of the hardest things to say. But his father wasn't about to hold it against him. That was never what this was about. His father only wanted to embrace him and take him back so that he could be his kid again. You know, in a way, Psalm 103 was written for little children to sing. For little children like us who have come full circle. who have gone through the struggle with the Father, but have come to realize that being His child is infinitely better than anything else. And when we do that, we become that kid again who has nothing to fear, but simply wants to open up his mouth and praise his Father for all that he is and for all that he does for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we haven't always agreed with you. We know, O God, that you are a God of love, and that every word you've ever spoken to us was a word of love and compassion. Father, take us. If there are any here, Lord, who have been trying to break free from you, Father, minister to them by your Holy Spirit. Break their heart out of your love. Bring them to yourself. Bring us all closer to you, Lord. And may our every thought and word and deed and song be praise. Be praise to our Father for all that you are to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.